I want you to take, if you took your notes on your sheet, or if you have your bulletin right there, I want you to pick it up and hold it in front of your face just for a minute. Not like this, like this. Hold it up right in front of your face, all right? Now, open your mouth and breathe very deeply right onto the paper. You can do that. Did everybody do that? Shanti, get your paper. There you go. All right, now look at the paper. If the paper turns green, you need to see a doctor. If the paper turns blue, you need to see a dentist. If the paper turns red, you need to see your accountant. If the paper turns black, you need to see your lawyer to check your will. If the paper does not change color, then there is no reason why you should not be in church this week. That's a test you can do every Sunday morning. If you breathe on the paper and it doesn't change, you can be in church. Having listened to that test and seen that test, you probably know what the fourth commandment is. Anybody have a guess?
Sabbath.
One person knows what the fourth commandment is. Oh, Ken, though, and it's Ken, not Susan. So, well, then you definitely need to be hearing this sermon today. Actually, I've been thinking all week that this is one of those sermons where when I'm talking to you, you're all here. So I'm kind of wasting my time talking to you. I should be talking to people who aren't here, correct? Well, we're being filmed. I'm being filmed right now, so I am talking to people who aren't here. Remember, the Sabbath day is the fourth commandment. Before we get in too far into that, though, let me remind you of the first three commandments and the way that I've been spinning them, trying to spin them a little more positively. Instead of thou shalt nots, they are looking at them a little bit differently. So we have the first one is make the Lord your number one priority. The second one is worship must exalt the Lord. Last week we talked about enhancing the Lord's reputation. Today we're going to move on into the remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now before we get too far into it again, I want to just share some definitions, some what these words mean and the way we understand them as we define them. So the first one is the word remember. Now a lot of times when we use the word remember, we just mean call to mind something, remind ourselves of it. But biblically speaking, when you see the word remember, it means that you are looking at the situation and deciding to take some kind of action. In the men's Bible study on Thursday night, we've been reading through Genesis, and we got to talking about the flood, and it talks about Noah being in the ark, and then it says there that God remembered Noah. Now, that doesn't mean that God just was like, I wonder whatever happened to that guy that built the boat, and he was drifting around somewhere, and now he's, no, it means that it was time for God to do something. He was going to act on what he had done with the flood, and he continuing to save Noah, uses the same language when it talks about the people of Israel being in Egypt, and that it says God remembered them. And again, it's not like he was just like, you know, there was this group of people and I sent them down to Israel or Egypt and whatever happened to them, we'll have to go find that. No, he knows where they're at. It just means that it's time to take action. Now, that also informs our view of communion, because Jesus said, take communion and do this remembering me. That doesn't mean just think about what Jesus did on the cross or contemplate. It means you're looking at that situation and you're deciding to take some kind of action in your life. You're going to live a certain way because of what Jesus has done, which we are remembering. So remember means to evaluate and decide to take action. The second word that we want to make sure we understand what it means is the word Sabbath. Sometimes people will think, well, the Sabbath, that means seven or seventh day, but it doesn't. The word Sabbath means cease or halt, means stop. Whatever it is you're doing, don't do it anymore. That's what the word Sabbath means. Stop doing what you were doing. Halt and cease. Or if we want to put it positively, rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. Second word is holy. Or the third word, sorry. I can't count today. Holy, set apart, dedicate, make special. And then the third one is the word for work or labor means the normal common activities that you do. So we remember, take action, the Sabbath by stopping. Holy, set apart a day from your work. Okay? Now, in Exodus chapter 20 is the commandment that we're going to read, which is, remember, okay, we know what that word means, the Sabbath, we know what that word means, day, you know what that word means, I don't have to give you a definition for that, right? By keeping it holy, 6 days ye shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. God says you got 6 days to get your work done. On the seventh day, you need to stop. You need to do something different. You need to not do the same things you do the other 6 days. This is the command. This is the only commandment that, when it's in the two places that we've talked about, this is the one in Exodus, but there's also one, the one in Deuteronomy. This is the one that's kind of different in those two places. And we're going to see the difference as we go through the commandment. It starts with the first word because in Exodus it says remember. In Deuteronomy it uses the word observe, which is basically the same thing. Observe means to practice, to do this thing. Don't just think about it, but actually set it apart as holy. 6 days you have to do all the things that you need to do to live your life. The seventh day, you need to set it aside. You need to stop doing those other things and do something different. That is this commandment. Let's pray and go home. Not quite that easy. You guys paid for a whole half an hour to 45 minutes of sermon, so that's what you're going to get. But that's the thing that is part of this commandment is that it's relatively simple on the surface. But that doesn't mean it's easy. When you look around right now, you see all these empty chairs, and you say, well, there are some people that are not, in fact, remembering the Sabbath. Or they're remembering it in their pajamas watching us on the video here. Which is possible.
Legal?
It's not legal, though, because we'll get to that in a minute. Well, it's legal. Well, we'll get to that later. So remembering the Sabbath, then, is... So when we say remember the Sabbath, then, it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, I remember the Sabbath. But we don't always go, or we are not always doing what we're supposed to be doing. A long time ago, back in June 1956, there was this article in a newspaper, and it was about Mrs. Ella Craig, who was 81 years old and hadn't missed church in 1,040 Sundays, a perfect record for 20 years. The article in the paper then asked these questions. Doesn't Mrs. Craig ever have company on Sunday to keep her away from church? Doesn't she ever go anywhere on Saturday night and get up tired on Sunday morning? Doesn't she ever have headaches, colds, nervous spells, tired feelings, poor breakfast, sudden calls out of town, business trips, Sunday picnics, or any trouble of any kind? Doesn't she have any friends at all? Friends who invite her to a weekend trip to the seashore or mountains? Doesn't she ever sleep late on Sunday morning? Doesn't it ever rain or snow on Sunday morning? Doesn't she ever get her feelings hurt by somebody at church? Doesn't she ever get mad at the preacher or a teacher? Doesn't she have a radio or television so she can listen to some mighty good sermons from out of town or watch on the internet? What's the matter with Mrs. Craig? By the way, the answer to that question is There's nothing wrong with Mrs. Craig. She just sets aside the Sabbath and makes it holy. And she dedicates it to God, to rest, to worship. And so the question is, and again, I realize that I'm asking the wrong group of people because you're here, but what keeps you away from coming to church on Sunday, setting aside Sunday as the Sabbath? Now, just take a little rabbit trail right now. Some people will say, well, the Sunday's not the Sabbath. Saturday's the Sabbath because it's the seventh day. Well, that is technically true, but it's also technically true that the Sabbath day commandment that we just read is the one of the Ten Commandments that's never exactly explicitly repeated in the New Testament. The issue isn't that the Sabbath is the seventh day, as much as it is that we are setting aside a day to worship and rest. The reason that the early church started doing it on Sunday is most of them were Jews, if not all of them, so they had their Sabbath, but then they worshiped as Christians on Sunday morning because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. So they celebrated the resurrection on Sundays. And so gradually over time, it moved from Saturday to Sunday because this is the day that Jesus was resurrected. And that's why we worship on Sundays. That's the explanation. We don't want to be overly legalistic about it and say, well, it's not technically the Sabbath, so we have to go to Saturday. Well, that isn't the force of the idea here. The idea is setting aside time to, as we're going to see, rest and worship. Okay, now one of the differences between Exodus and Deuteronomy is not just that first word, but it's the reason why we set this aside. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, it explains why are you to observe the Sabbath day. So on it being the Sabbath, you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So why are we supposed to do the Sabbath day? Because God did. You can say, well, I'm not really tired on Sunday, so I can go ahead and do my work. Well, God wasn't really tired either on the seventh day, but he still rested. And actually, the implication is the reason he rested is so that he could enjoy the fruit of his labor. For 6 days God created. On the seventh day, he just wanted to sit back and say, look what I did. Isn't this good? Which he, by the way, says at the end of every day of creation. Isn't this good? Okay, well, if it's good, let's enjoy it. And that's the attitude behind the Sabbath when we're talking about this situation. In fact, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and read this picture of what God did. Verse 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 2 says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. You realize that God did that because he just wanted to enjoy the creation that he had made. And that's what God is saying we should do. When we are resting on the seventh day, then that means what we are doing is we are enjoying the fruit of the labor that we've done for 6 days. If you can't get it done in 6 days, working on the seventh isn't going to solve your problem. You just need to organize your time a little better. For 6 days you work, the seventh day you stop, you cease. Whatever work you do for the other 6 days, you don't do on the seventh day. Instead, you do nothing. Very little. In fact, according to the commandment, it would be really easy if you're rich to not work, because you just have your servants do it, or your employees do it, or the people, somebody else do it. Like most guys, you rest on Sunday so that your wife can take care of the meals and do all the things that they normally do so that you can rest, right? Yeah. That was a joke. I didn't mean, that wasn't serious, right? I know what's going to happen. Some of you guys are going to go home and say, see, the pastor said, you're supposed to. No, that's not. The commandment says everyone stops. Even the animals stop, it says. Nobody works on the Sabbath. What are we going to eat? You'll figure it out. I don't want to get legalistic about this and say that nobody does anything, because there is at least one person in this room who works on Sunday. That's me, okay? That's why I take Mondays off and say, don't call me on Monday. Don't talk to me. If you can wait till Tuesday, call me on Tuesday. Because Monday is my cease day, my stop day. For the other days of the week, I do my work. One day, I don't. That's Monday. But I work on Sunday so that you can rest and have time off.
Thank you, Pastor.
I know you all appreciate that. And you think about me all the time. And no, just it's okay. I didn't do that to try to get sympathy. I'm just letting you know that, again, we don't want to be really legalistic about the day. What we want to understand is that as long as we are taking a day, then we are following the commandment. Because even though I said, I'm the one who's, I'm not the only one. We got a person teaching the kids right now. We have the people singing and playing the music up here. There's always some work to do. So when we talk about stopping and ceasing, what we're not saying is you don't do anything. It just means you just take care of the basic stuff and don't do what you ordinarily do during the week. Set aside Sunday as special to rest, and as we're going to see in a minute, and to worship, and those go hand in hand. We don't just do nothing. We do only the bare minimum that we need to do. And other than that, we want to rest and contemplate and ask ourselves, God created this whole thing, this whole world, and then he put us here so that we could enjoy it. You don't believe me, I can tell. So let's look and see what Jesus said about this. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is walking through a field in verse 23. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, one day of ceasing, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" They were reaping, is what they were doing. They were harvesting grain. That's work, according to the Pharisees, and so they criticized. And Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." He broke the Sabbath by basically going into the temple and doing something he wasn't supposed to do, but he was satisfying his need to eat. So Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus said, God did the Sabbath for you, our benefit, for your benefit. He didn't make it there to make it legal. It's not about law. It's not about following some commandment just because God says to. God says, I'm setting aside the Sabbath as an example so that you will do what I did. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Rest. The Sabbath is made for you, not you for the Sabbath. And that's something that the Pharisees missed. They were looking around trying to measure, well, what constitutes work? What do we have to do to obey this commandment? And instead, Jesus was saying, just take advantage of the commandment. It's for your benefit. It's for you. In fact, right after the Ten Commandments in Exodus, there's a verse in Exodus 23, verse 12, that says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be, and here's this word, refreshed. That's why God gave it to you, to refresh yourself, to take advantage of the 6 days that you've worked and then refresh yourself. So the Sabbath day is a day of rest in order to refresh our lives. That's why God gave it, so that we could be refreshed, because tomorrow morning you're supposed to get up and go back to work. Now, how many of you are retired? Okay, so just forget everything I said, because you got every day off, so it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. So that's a good thing. But what it does do is it brings up the idea that the issue isn't work in the sense of going to a job and earning money. The point is you're supposed to do in 6 days so that on the seventh day you can rest. What happens a lot of times is all those things we read about Mrs. Craig, there's always stuff that comes up on Sunday. Oh, I got to go do this, or I've got to go take care of that, or Walmart's having a sale, or we got to go whatever. We always have all these things. And the commandment is really saying, do those things in the 6 days so that on the seventh day, you don't have to do those things. That is what God is saying. We have to understand that the problem we have is that we don't do the things in the 6 days. It wasn't that long ago when you used to come to church at 9 o'clock and go to Sunday school, and then you had service at 10:30, and then at around 6 or 7 in the evening, you had another service. And people would spend all day at church. How many of you are ready to go back to those days? Three. I'm counting three. Most people don't. You know why? Because we got other things to do. And it was easy for us. I remember being on an elder board probably 30 years ago in a church. And we were, at that point, we had a Sunday night service. And we were talking about not doing it anymore because a lot of times only 5 or 6 people, maybe 8 or 10 at the most, would show up. And so we were in discussion. And a lot of the ideas were, well, families would say, well, Sunday night's our family night. And so we stay home and just be together as a family, which sounds like a really good reason. But what were you doing on Saturday night or Friday night or Thursday night or Wednesday night? Because we canceled the Wednesday night Bible study too, because for the same reason. So what happened is that it sounds like what we're doing is we're saying, well, family's important, so we're staying home because we want to make our family important. But really what you're doing is you're saying that church attendance on Sunday night is less important than whatever I'm doing on Thursday night or Tuesday night, because I could have those nights as my family night. That's the idea. For 6 days, God says, you got 6 days to take care of all this stuff. You can do it on any of those days. Just leave the seventh day for me and for rest. Well, that's kind of hard. We got a lot of important things that we got to do. How many of you are retired again? Yeah, but Sunday's a good day to go fishing or play golf or go to a party or something. I had a pastor friend also when I was in Bible college who, one of the things he and his families did on Saturday night was they always made sure that they were home and in bed relatively early so that when they got good, they got a good night's sleep so that they could get up. And it's kind of counterintuitive, but so they could get up and they come to church rested and ready to worship. But Saturday night is kind of a party night. So what we do is we stay up late and we get tired and then we come to church. And then we get up Sunday morning and go, kind of tired, I got up. 6 days, take care of your stuff and make it so that on the seventh day you can rest and have your Sabbath. I don't want to hear the excuses like, one, like maybe the weather is too strong. There was this poem I have, and it was about, a guy said this is something that his father talked about. He says, my father was faithful to the house of God when he felt like it and when he didn't, when the preaching was good and when it wasn't, my father was there. And this is this little ditty that he talked about when he was talking about the weather. And it goes like this. Whether the weather be good or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be not, whatever the weather, he weathered the weather, whether he liked it or not. Sunshine, and the interesting thing is that if the sun's shining, people say, well, the sun's shining, I don't want to go to church because I can go outside and go to the beach or go for a hike or do something like that. And if it's raining, we say, well, it's raining. If I go outside, I'll get wet and it'll be hard to drive. And So whatever the weather, we can find a reason not to go to church or not to do these things, right? Have I convicted you just a little bit? Yeah. Are you getting feeling a little, okay, well, your job this week is to find somebody who's not here and give them a little taste of this when you see them, all right? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about something a little different. Well, it's not usually attributed to the Sabbath, but it is talking about rest. In chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One of the reasons why we may feel that that's not true is because we don't set aside the day God gave us to rest. And so we start thinking, oh, it's going to church, it's so hard, I got to get dressed up, I got to get up early, Jesus says, I'm doing this so that you will not be burdened, you will be rested, you will be what I'm promising you and receive it. A lot of times that's what happens to us. We don't get the things that God promises to us because we don't want to do things the way that God says to do them. And so we don't feel rested. We feel like it's a burden. We feel like the yoke is heavy. Well, try setting aside the Sabbath a couple of weeks and find out if you can maybe rest a little bit and find out the things. Jesus says, I'm not giving you this rule to make it hard for you. I'm making it so that it's better for you. It's easier for you. That's the first reason why God gave the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy, same commandment, he has a little bit different reason. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 14 says, and it starts off the same, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On the Sabbath you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Same as the other one. Stop. Cease. Don't do things. But you normally do. Verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The first reason has to do with resting and stopping. The second reason, the reason in Deuteronomy, has to do with stopping and remembering what God has done in your life. That's the worship part. I want to rest and not do the things you normally do, but the second part is you want to take time to remember what God has done in your life. Has God blessed you? Has God saved you? Has God liberated you? Has God given you freedom? Does God give you food every day? Does God do all of these things in our lives? Has God done those things? Well, you're supposed to take the seventh day to remember those things and to worship. He uses the word remember here. We can talk about the Sundays we have communion. We're supposed to remember what Jesus did. Whatever we do on Sunday, as we sing these songs, as we fellowship together, as we gather together, we're remembering and thinking about and deciding to do things the rest of the week so that we can do this on Sunday. So I'm almost to the point where I'm going to commit you all to come into church twice on Sunday. Are you ready for that? Some people are still kind of enthusiastic about that, but a lot of you are sitting there going, whoa, Pastor, as the old saying is, you've done preaching and you've gone to meddling. So, worship. The Sabbath day is a day to worship by gathering for worship and encouragement. I put worship in there twice because I wanted to repeat it. It's a day for worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's some other kind of implied things in the Bible, in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, going to church, there's only really one verse that talks about it, and that's this one. Most of the time, I believe, the writers of the New Testament thought, why wouldn't people go to church? Why should we have to tell them to do that? They should want to do that, right? Well, we're not telling them to do it. But this is the one place where it talks about it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on. I love that word, by the way. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Not anybody here, other people. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's interesting that it doesn't say here the reason for coming to church is not because you need it. The reason is because the people sitting around you need you to be there to encourage them. And sometimes that means spur them. That's why it's okay for me to make you feel a little convicted. That's the spurring going on. But also just to encourage. Because you got 6 days that you got to labor and work, and you're going to be away from the people here, and you got all these things to do, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to work hard, and you're going to face people who aren't Christians, and you're going to have to deal with a lot of things. Okay, you come here, and you get encouraged. And, more importantly, you encourage other people. I like the fellowship time that we have as you go around and greet people and smile and give hugs and shake hands and give people a little bit of a thumbs up and just glad you're here, those kinds of things. That is the fellowship idea that this verse is talking about. We come here to get encouraged. Part of that's my job, encourage you from the word, but part of it is just being together. We're all together here. And we're all on the same page, and we're all working together, and we're all realizing that we need some encouragement and we need some help, because 6 days is a long time sometimes. My goal, by the way, sometimes this has happened a couple times, but we'll do something like maybe a baptism or do something special on Sunday. And I've had people say this to me, nobody here, other people. Somebody will say to me, oh, well, if I'd have known that was going to happen, I would have been there on Sunday. I shouldn't have to explain that at all to you. That's one of my goals, by the way, is as a pastor, is that when I want people to be upset on Monday because they miss church on Sunday. Now, I also want them to be upset on Saturday so they'll be ready to go to church on Sunday, the next day. But the goal is that church is a place where people say, I missed it. I want to be there. I want to go. I want to see those people. I want to sing. I want to do all those things together. That's our goal as a church, a place where people want to be here. And that's our goal. That's part of what he's saying here. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but that's okay since I'm putting the words up there. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the heart. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second part is all the joy and singing psalms and being encouraged. But look at that first line. Be very careful then how you live. You don't just show up on Sunday and the worship's good. You have to come being prepared to worship, ready to worship. And that can mean going to bed early on Saturday nights. It can mean that you are doing everything in 6 days so that on the seventh day, you can set aside time to worship and to rest. It doesn't just happen. If you just try to not do anything on Sunday, what happens is people will fill it up with stuff, other people. You have to say, I'm going to worship on Sunday, so whatever I was thinking about doing on Sunday, I'm going to do that one of the other days of the week. That's what we're going to do. That is what we have to think about. Be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity. You have to live on Monday thinking about how this is going to affect what you do on Sunday. And every day you're doing that, you're thinking about it. So when we talk about this commandment, and we talk about the fourth commandment and the way to say this a little bit differently to remind you about this, the fourth commandment is take control of your calendar. You have to think about what you're doing the rest of the time and planning it out so that Sunday is set aside. Again, you have to do that, because if you don't, you'll fill it up with something else. Something else will come in and take over, and you'll end up doing that. I'm not going to give you a break. Because normally at this point, you kind of qualify and you say, you know, if every once in a while you find something out, something happens, family comes to town or something like that, you know, I'm not going to call everybody on Sunday afternoon to find out where you were on church. So, and that you're adults, I realize, you're followers of Christ. You're going to make choices that are generally going to be pretty good. But I don't really want to do that. What I want to do is spur you on to good deeds by actually spurring you. So I'm not going to give you a break. I'm going to say, take control of your calendar. Be here on Sundays. It's be resting and worshiping on the Sabbath. It's a commandment, if I can use that word. But in order to do that, you have to take control of your calendar. You have to make sure you're taking care of business for 6 days so that on the seventh day, you're not having those things to do. Like, did you get the point?
Yes.
Got that spur?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to, just as we close here, I want you to all close your eyes for a second. This, other than the commandments and maybe John 3:16, one of the most famous psalms is Psalm 23. You've heard Psalm 23, I'm sure. I want you to think, we're going to think about this psalm in relationship to the Sabbath. So I want you to close your eyes and just listen to the words here for a minute. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that a restful psalm? Is that a ceasing psalm? Now, we could go through there and look at those things. Like the first line says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. If you're working on Sunday because you think God can't meet your needs, what's one verse 1 saying? If you're not coming to church on Sunday because you don't believe that God expects you to rest, what about makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside? I mean, that's the most restful scene you can have. The problem is that we either don't really believe that God can meet our needs unless we do it, we don't really believe God wants us to rest and worship. Or we believe that God really doesn't care about our comfort and our rest. And this psalm does all the way through. It says, that's what God offers you, comfort and rest. It's possibly where Jesus got the idea that his load was light and his load was not designed to be a burden. So the next time you're thinking about sleeping in on Sundays, well, you can sleep in on Thursday, I don't care. Sleeping on Sunday or not coming to church, read Psalm 23 and remind yourself that God wants you to rest and to worship. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for giving us the Sabbath. I thank you for your example that you have provided for us. I thank you that you desire our rest and our comfort. And so, God, I pray that you will help each one of us to take control of our calendar so that we will be ready to worship and to rest on your Sabbath. Help us to take these things, God, and make them a part of our life. Help us to write them on our hands and our foreheads, to think about them as we come and as we go and as we travel. God, we understand that whatever else happens, we want to be ready to worship and rest on your day. So thank you, God, for the word this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.